This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
People, you know, it's been 55 years since that song came out. I Want to Hold Your Hand by the one and only Beatles. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday morning, October the 28th. Wow. Holy Toledo, the month has flown by. We will be talking with Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation in a couple of minutes. And we're going to talk about how China is now controlling the speech of a lot of American firms and sports teams. What is going on? Maybe we should worry more about that than their interference in our election. And of even greater concern, perhaps, 7 in 10 millennials now say they would consider voting for a socialist for president. Now, are they onto something? Or are they just plain stupid? We're going to talk about that. And the governor of California now blaming capitalism for the wildfires and rolling blackouts in his state. What? We will talk about that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, coming off all those NFL games, we are going to give you the top 10 best NFL stadiums. We'll see if our buddy Big Ed agrees with the list, okay? Top 10 best NFL stadiums. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. For all you men, make a beeline to Dunedin. Take Route 580 to Overcash Drive, and just north on Overcash Drive, Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza. Best haircut you can get. Great price. I mean, really a good price. It's amazing. You go around to these specialty shops, you know. First of all, you don't know who you're going to get in a specialty shop, right? They keep changing the people. They keep coming and going, so you never know who you're going to get. Prices are outrageous. Did you know Andrew's been doing this for over 50 years? That's how good he is. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. And please visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Big Ed has all of our shows on there. You will find out who is our guest in the upcoming programs as well. You'll find out more about the show. You'll find out a lot. You can also listen live by going to our show, because we have a link to the station. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay. Boy, we got a lot going on. I can't wait to talk with Mike Gonzalez about what China is doing these days. I'm thinking that they're more involved in our thinking with what's going on in the NBA, which we will talk about, and companies investing in China at a price, American companies. So we'll stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I see that President Trump today is defending his decision not to tell Nancy and the gang on the Democratic congressional side about the raid that killed ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Try saying that about 3 or 4 times, by the way, especially after a couple of cocktails. When Trump first announced al-Baghdadi's death yesterday in the morning, he said he decided not to tell officials in Washington, including House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, because of leaking. You know what? I don't blame him. Look at the leaks coming out of the Democratic-controlled committees trying to impeach Trump. Do you think that if you went and told Big Mouth Nancy about it, and a few of the others? And then you're going to jeopardize our troops somehow? You know that somebody somewhere with loose lips. Remember they used to say loose lips sink ships? In fact, if you go back and look at some of those old World War II school movies and things that they would tell the troops, they would say, be careful about whatever you say to whoever you say it. So I can't blame them for doing that. You know? And isn't it funny how no matter what Trump does, they find a way to make him look bad about it?
Well, if I remember correctly, when they got
Osama Bin Laden.
I hate to say that name. I remember the photos of scary Hillary in the bunker and Obama watching as it
went
down.
They were looking very intently.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't
look like a stage shot, but
they didn't have to tell anybody. Because that was an ongoing thing. Okay, that started with George Bush. Obama, it took Bush the rest of his tenure in office, and Obama squeezed into that and then took credit for it, of course. He didn't go out and announce to everybody, hey, we know where he is. He's at such and such apartment on such and such street. We're going in there at 1 o'clock. Of course, that's what, if he could do that, he would do that. And they went in there and they did it. So what is the difference here?
I agree.
Why doesn't somebody bring this up to one of these morons? Well, how can you stand there and gripe about him not telling you what's going on? He's the president of the United States. He doesn't have to tell you.
Nancy said, well, they told Russia, and they didn't tell him. Well, of course, because if we were sneaking our troops into that area and Russia was not aware of it with their people over there, we could have been shot. Come on, you got to let the people that are there know what you're trying to do. And Russia was on our side in trying to get this guy. So you had to let people that are there know, hey, we're coming through. We're trying to get this guy. So just, you know, on the QT.
Well, see, Nancy Pelosi is the type of person you have to explain. First, you take the cap off the toothpaste. Then you put the toothpaste on the toothbrush.
But she doesn't.
And you spread it on your dentures.
Well, that's what I was going to say. She doesn't use toothpaste, so you wouldn't have to explain how to use toothpaste.
You take the cap off the denture glue. That doesn't work.
We're being cruel now, Big Ed.
Whatever.
We're being cruel. You're being very
whatever.
Cruel early
me.
In the morning.
Impeach me.
Now, did you see that the Washington Post found a way to make Trump look bad in this raid? The Post published a gasp-inducing headline yesterday describing Baghdadi as, quote, austere religious scholar. Did you know that?
Why didn't they put a Nobel Prize winner in there,
exactly.
too, somewhere?
Exactly. It's
or
like
potential.
It's like saying, well, Adolf Hitler, a community leader and great speaker, passed away today in his bunker. Come on, man. You don't do that. The great Genghis Khan, known to be a great horse soldier.
Didn't this guy use his kids as shields, too, on this?
Yeah, that was the sad thing. There were some kids that were killed. I don't know if he used them as shields, but he detonated his suicide belt with the kids around. He full well knew about that. The heck with the kids, right?
Yeah.
The obituary written by Washington Post's Joby Warwick speaks of the guy as some sort of austere religious leader. The headline, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar at helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. Come on! Dies at 48. As if he passed away in his sleep, surrounded by his family. Now, the Post appeared to change the headline a little bit later. They changed it from calling him Islamic State's terrorist-in-chief to calling him an austere religious scholar. Then they changed it once again. So they had gone back. They made three headlines. The third one, extremist leader. Extremist leader. So did you hear that? He goes from, where were we? Terrorist in chief to austere religious scholar and then to extremist leader. I guess they figure extremist leader could ameliorate a little bit of it.
Now, do they do obituaries for every leader over there that goes down, or, you know, or just the ones that we nailed?
This was a big time chief, right? This was a guy on par with Osama bin Laden, because he was head of ISIS. So no, they only do it for the big. They only do it for the big ones. In the meantime, this guy was responsible for how many people being beheaded, innocent children, the whole bit, right? So there you go. If you need to know anything further about where the Washington Post and some of these other newspapers stand, it's unbelievable that they could get, first of all, that anybody would even think of putting that in a headline.
Although that Washington Post is great recycling material in the bathroom.
I used to use it for the bottom of our canary cage.
Exactly.
It works nicely. Yeah. It works nicely. Okay, we're going to switch gears. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation is going to talk about China and the splinter net.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky. And there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to tantalkhealth.com. That's tantalkhealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday morning. It's a beautiful day in Tampa Bay, by the way. Getting a little bit cooler. Not cold. This is Florida, my friends. Cooler. A little bit nicer. We're delighted to have Mike Gonzalez from the Great Heritage Foundation join us. He is a senior fellow at the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy at Heritage. And he has penned a piece, which you can find, by the way, on the Heritage website, "Will China's Censors Bring Us the Splinter Net?" Mike, welcome to Freedom Works.
Paul, nice. Thank you for having me on. And I just want to say I love Tampa, man. Yes, that's a great city you got going there.
Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. We're having our ups and downs with football, but we're a happy group.
I got the Nats over here, so let's not talk sports.
Oh, listen, I was rooting for them. Mike, I tell you what, you still got two games left here. Go back and do what you did the last time you were in Houston with the team, right? Anyway, speaking about sports, Mike, I see China is controlling the NBA in terms of speech every once in a while. You bring it out in your very interesting commentary. And it's all about, here we go with you know, those protests in Hong Kong over the extradition law of pulling people from Hong Kong to mainland China. That started the ball rolling there. But all of a sudden, it kind of opens up this, I guess you could call it, lifts the rock on what China is trying to do with censorship. Tell us a little bit about the censors bringing us the splinter net, will you?
Yeah, you know, in the original piece, I had I used the term a full-court press, which the editor took out. It was a bad pun on what's happening with the NBA. But, I mean, China is all over the place. It's not just the NBA. It's they got radio stations over here. You may be listening to a radio station. You may not know that it's actually indirectly owned by the Chinese. It's at universities as well. They install Confucius Institutes, and they give the university lots of money. There's about 100 Confucius Institutes in America, and they in exchange the three T's, Taiwan, Tibet, and Tiananmen, cannot be mentioned, and now Xinjiang as well, or Hong Kong. The movies. This is the biggest thing, Paul. And it's the biggest because it's the least known. But now the U.S. government started to talk about it. Mike Pence and Pompeo are started to talk about it. So China tells the Hollywood studios, if you want a piece of the Chinese market, the box office market, which is the second largest in the world, in a couple of years is going to be the largest, going to overtake us. You have to submit your products to Chinese censors. You have to send us the scripts, or Chinese censors may even visit the set themselves. And guess what Hollywood studios are doing? They submit. They submit to it because they want to make money. Just like LeBron James said, shut up, let's not talk about Hong Kong, we need to make money. Of course, they don't have the same attitude here in the U.S., but you know, they're all social conscious and everything when it comes to the U.S., but when it comes to China, they gladly submit to the Communist Party censorship.
Yeah, it's amazing, and somewhat hypocritical to hear sports figures complain about things going on in the United States and suppression of this and that, and taking a knee, you know. And then all of a sudden, one of the owners speaks up for the protesters in Hong Kong that are basically protesting for their own sense of freedom and individualism, and that is clamped down on, and it's obvious that it's a money situation. I mean, you get LeBron James getting up there and what's the former athlete from Auburn University? He's complaining about
Barkley.
Yeah,
Barkley.
Charles Barkley, and I like him. Yeah.
I like him too.
You know, he's usually very straight arrow when it comes to talking about things, you know. But what? I mean, I can't believe it. I just can't believe that the money has gripped around the necks of these people so much. And like you say, the Hollywood film industry now too. And you know, they're the ones that are screaming and complaining about our, you know, Donald Trump and our government and everything else. And then this, what hypocrisy?
Yeah, complete hypocry. James Cameron is one of the. He himself has, you know, is very outspoken when it comes to the U.S. But then he has said, no, you know, that's the rules over there, and if you want a piece of the market, you have to submit to those rules. And what China seeks to do is to present China as a normal country. It's just it's the same thing as France, but just larger. And that's not the case because China is a repressive state. It suppresses all sorts of natural rights, from the freedom of conscience, where you cannot practice the religion you want. You do not have free expression. They're going back on promises made to the people of Hong Kong. They're putting the Muslim people of Xinjiang into concentration camps. Of course, they have suppressed Tibetans for decades.
Yes.
So China is not like France, but if you watch in the movies, you get the portrayal of China as a normal country. And if you don't, then the studio gets banned. Let me ask you something, Paul. Richard Gere used to be one of the biggest Hollywood stars,
yeah.
Right? He used to make, it was big money. He has not been able to appear in a large studio production for two decades. Why?
I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going.
He's balanced with the Dalai Lama.
He's a big Tibetan supporter in the Dalai Lama, and you're right. I haven't seen him around.
Right. Right. And China will do this to anyone who crosses the line. And you know, if China was to do that, with their own country, actually, I don't like the fact that they're doing this to 1.4 billion Chinese. But what bothers me is when it's being introduced in America, our people, 330 million Americans, are having, you know, they there's restrictions on freedom of expressions, and that is fine with LeBron James.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. We're talking with Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation. He's penned a piece called Commentary, Will China's Censors Bring Us the SplinterNet? I just don't get it. It seems so anti-American. But, you know, it's funny. Speaking about movies, when I'm watching a movie and there's some sort of global terrorist group, or they got to pick a country, it's never China. It's, you know what it is? It's countries like Albania. Have you noticed that? Yeah. There are more bad Albanians out there. And I'm thinking that poor little country is slapped around because Hollywood is looking for some sort of non-threatening country, right? And Albania. Oh, let's use Albania. Nobody there cares, right? I mean,
right.
This is how stupid it gets.
Right, right. And, yeah. and the problem is that internet services, or just social media services, like TikTok, as a Chinese service to communicate between people, it gets censored. So if an American is talking to an American between Boston and Houston, Texas, I don't know why I said Houston.
I know why you said doing this. I know why you said Houston.
It's in my mind, right?
You got Houston on your mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, but Boston and Austin, and they use a Chinese service, they will not be able to talk about any of the things that China doesn't want them to talk about. You know, Hong Kong or
so. What would happen if I'm talking to you? Let's say you're in Austin and I'm in Boston.
And we wouldn't be talking orally, right? We'd be communicating through our phone.
Would they physically stop it?
Yeah, the message wouldn't get through.
Really?
Yeah.
So they got people that are listening to you?
No, I think they just pick up. They have algorithms.
So certain words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. So like Himalayas.
You know, but the people of China, the people in China themselves know how to get around this, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
They separate the characters for Tiananmen.
Isn't this funny? This is so stupid.
I know.
Isn't this stupid?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just talking about a country that since 1947, whenever Mao Zedong took over. 49, excuse me, yeah. People's Republic. And, of course, I don't know how many millions of people died in China based on Mao Zedong.
Hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions.
Maybe more than anywhere else in the world ever, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, more than anywhere else.
So there we go. And somehow, we that were supposed to be the beacon of freedom and liberty can't see through what they are doing. Look what they're also doing to Taiwan, by the way. We don't mention Taiwan, right?
Well, because Taiwan is still... Mm-hmm. Taiwan's still free, right, and independent.
Yes, but China's trying to ensnare it. They're building these artificial islands and the whole bit, trying to get closer and closer. But go ahead anyway.
No. I mean, you're absolutely right, Paul. But Taiwan is free and independent, and it's got a kind of a guarantee from us that if China ever does anything to it,
we get
involved.
I'd be afraid, though. I would honestly be afraid to test that. But go ahead.
No, you're right. And by the way, the guarantee is very ambiguous.
It's not very clear. Ambiguous, yes.
Right. No, it's not very.
Now,
it's not clear.
And also, Mike, we've got President Trump. Now, he likes President Xi of China, supposedly. I don't know. I think it's a big bluff. But he likes him, and we've got tariffs on him. And, I mean, well, what do you think about the way Donald Trump is handling China? Maybe I should ask
you. Let me tell you. I just got done with a trip through Europe. I was in Riga, in the capital of Latvia, and then I went to the Czech Republic. I went to Prague. I was stunned by how much support, grudging support, by people who don't like Donald Trump have for the tariffs, saying what he's doing is exactly right. This included journalists. I'm not going to cite them, but friends of mine. I was a journalist for 20 years, so I know many journalists.
Yes,
journalists,
I'm sure,
for big-time media who are based in foreign capitals who tell me, Mike, I hate Donald Trump, but he's doing the right thing with China and the tariffs. Now, we ourselves, we're a conservative think tank. We have our issues with the tariffs because we're for free trade.
Yes, indeed. I know.
But I heard so much support from European officials who wish their governments were doing the same thing.
I think that's because they're almost closer to the problem of what China is doing with the with the whole business of imports, exports, and everything else. Do you think that's partly the case because they're a little bit closer to what's going on, or what do you think?
I think that China does represent a threat to Eastern Europe. They're trying to get in, right? They give them money, and they're trying to buy a lot of assets over there, media assets and so forth. And so there is the threat in Hungary and the Balkans of Chinese interference. I think for us, the area that I do have the biggest sympathy with and what Donald Trump is doing is the theft of intellectual property, right? And that is the biggest concern. If you talk to people in AmCham in Beijing, American Chamber of Commerce in Beijing, they will tell you that the theft of intellectual property right is just something that our leaders need to get serious about.
But, you know, they're never going to – how are you going to force them to pay for the things they're stealing when it comes to intellectual property? I mean, it's very good that we bring it out. It shows them for what they are, right? And that's the main thing. Let's show them, you know, for what they are. Mike, we could go on forever. I got to have you back again, and we can talk about some of this stuff because I want to ask you – well, maybe real quickly – do you think that the media here in the United States is consciously trying to show people about the nefarious nature of China and what they're trying to do? Or do you think they're kind of going along with it kind of in a subversive way?
No, I think the media, the media have no reason to hide what's going on in China. I think the media is you know, I'm a big critic of my friends in the media, because I think that they're biased. You know, a lot of them, the vast majority.
I should have said mainstream media, by the way.
Are very liberal, because they live in the coast. They live in their. They're very liberal. You know that. They deny it and say no, but they're very liberal.
Of course they are. Right.
But I think on China, they do a fairly good job
portraying
what is happening over there.
Oh, that's good news. It really is. And it's a good way to end our very interesting conversation, Mike. Thank you so very much for being with us. I know we'll be talking again.
Oh, anytime.
Okay. There he is. Mike Gonzalez. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, from the Heritage Foundation. Okay, let's take our break. We got a lot to talk about. When we come back, about 7 in 10 millennials say they would consider voting for a socialist.
Be away from my guy. Nothing you could do, cause I'm stuck like glue to my guy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Hi, this is Pryor Smith speaking from Toronto. You know, the winter tourist season in Florida is just around the corner. Hundreds of thousands of Canadians will be heading to the Gulf Coast. On Monday, November 4th, Canada Calling, their daily update of news from home, will be back on the radio for the 66th season. Join me in Clearwater on WTAN, AM 1340 and 106.1. In Dade City on WDCF, 1350 and 102.3. And WZHR, AM 1400 and 104.3. The Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
There's only one place on the radio where golfers like you can turn for the best tips, interviews, product reviews, local tournaments, and everything golf talk. The Golf Show Guys.
Hey, join the Golf Show Guys every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's not just funny, it's informative, it's celebrities, and it's a lot of applause. It's the Golf Show Guys, Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday morning, just 3 days before Halloween. Ed, did you decorate this studio like this? I can see my microphone and all the other microphones in here have all of this very interesting-looking golden orange color.
Yeah, little pumpkins hanging from them, and there's a pumpkin,
very cute.
A pumpkin in a green room and stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, just a little touch.
Yeah, leave it on forever. Don't even take it down.
We'll get a couple of lights on and call it Christmas.
It looks good. Yeah, exactly. Well, we were talking about LeBron James and the NBA and China and all that. Did you know that LeBron James' home might catch fire? The Lakers star was among the Southern California residents who had to leave their homes. Mandatory evacuations issued early today after another fire. That whole state is turning into an inferno. Now, Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom is now blaming capitalism. Did you know that? He's blaming capitalism and climate change for what's going on in his state. You know, you got to find someone and something to blame, right? Now, the Pacific Gas and Electric Company, that's the biggest utility out in California, has blacked out close to a million homes already and businesses in parts of more than 30 counties up and down California. Now, you got to remember, it's dry out there all the time. It's a desert. And people have poured into California. And for all of these years, they're trying to create green out of brown. And they pump in the water from the Arizona, from the river and the whole bit, the Arizona River. And it's tough when you got about 30 million people living in that state. That's a desert. Anyway, so they got rolling blackouts. And here's Governor Newsom. He says, with the shutoffs, he says these are difficult calls. But a society as industrious and entrepreneurial and innovative as ours should not have to face a choice between public safety and public blackouts. We can do both. He says, and catch this, it's more than just climate change. It's about the failure of capitalism to address climate change. What? So climate change is causing it. Is that what he's trying to say? What's causing it is you're living in desert. And when you have a dry desert-like condition, which you do, you're going to get fires from time to time. It just happens that way because you don't get a lot of rain. But, he's going to go and blame it on capitalism. Right. If it wasn't for capitalism, you wouldn't have all those millionaires running around supporting you. And speaking about how about this for transition? How about millennials? We need to talk about millennials. And this story kind of makes you sit back. 70% of millennials in a new poll say that they are somewhat or extremely likely to vote for a socialist candidate for president or to vote for a socialist candidate, period, whether it's president or some other position. This is, I've never heard of this poll, but let's look at it. It's called the YouGov Victims of Communism Poll. It was released today. It found that 50% of millennials between 23 and 38, that's your age, isn't it, Ed? You're at 38, or are you at 37? Anyway, your group, the millennials, and 51% of Generation Z, I didn't even know there was one, 51% of those between 16 and 22 have a somewhat or very unfavorable view of capitalism. Can you believe that? An increase of 8 and 6 percentage points, respectively. Only 44% of Generation X and 33% of boomers and 33% of what they call the silent generation, which is over the age of 74. You know why a lot of them are called the silent generation at over the age of 74? They're not around anymore. They're really sad. That's a lousy joke. But anyway, now, they're, let's see, only 44% of Gen X, 33% boomers, 33% silent generation said they were somewhat or very likely to vote for a socialist. So the older you get, the less socialistic you are.
Well, let me give you another stat. 70% of millennials can't spell socialism.
You're right.
To tell you the
truth. That's even scarier.
I'm not surprised. I see it on Facebook with, I have friends that are kids or kids of that age. And the majority of them that complain about Trump or whatever, or he's doing this and he's taking this, they don't work. They don't work. That's the ones that want everything for free. The ones that are going out there have respectable jobs. They like the way the country's going. But the ones that are sitting around making babies and living off the government don't want that. They want the social. They don't care who it is.
Yeah. You know, if you went around, and I really mean this, and interviewed every single millennial and simply asked them who's the vice president, I'll bet half of them, more than half, would not be able to tell you. The vice president.
Sure.
That's how scary it is and uninformed they are. And then we expect them to come up with a plan as to why they do or do not like socialism. They can't even define it. They think socialism is somehow, that's where the poor get better off. That's about as far as their thinking goes.
You know, there are people that go out on YouTube that are trying to get famous or whatever, and they go out and they interview people how unintelligent people are. The last one I just watched was a guy that went up to people and said, "What? It's July 4th. What do we celebrate this day as?" And one woman went from everything from, "We won the Civil War."
We won the Civil War.
Yeah, on July 4th. On July 4th.
Yes, indeed.
To the boycott of fireworks. We turned it around on July 4th, and we were able to do fireworks on July 4th.
Goodness, how did they come up with that one?
It was awful. It was awful. And they're serious. They have a straight face. You know, sometimes you can tell when stuff's a little set up, but it was not set up. I mean, there were people who knew what it was. But then you get somebody, we won the Civil War on that date. We beat the South. That's what it was. We beat the South on July 4th.
It's like a baseball game. Good we God. Beat the South. In 7 games.
I mean, I graduated high school, not with honors, but I picked up a lot of stuff in high school.
Sure.
Stuff like that you kind of remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, God, take me back. First of all, you could write. These days, because we don't even use the writing, people don't even write anymore. And I don't either.
We're all
on the internet, and we're not mailing any letters anymore because we're typing. Okay, that's fine. I got it. But we can't write. You know, I've always thought that if you can't explain what you're trying to say, or you can't write what you're trying to say, you're going to have issues down the road. You know, in other words, if you can't explain it, maybe you're not thinking it straight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but you're right. It's so here we go with the whole thing with millennials, and they Ronald Reagan warned us about this kind of thing years and years ago. There, I listened to an address, I think it was in the late 50s, when he was not even the governor yet of California. He was still just an actor. But he was getting into politics at that point, and he talked about socialism back then. And back then, you didn't have to explain it to people. People, adults back then, immediately knew what socialism was, and they tagged it on to countries at that time like China and Russia. And Karl Marx, everybody kind of knew who he was because in school you had heard about that kind of a thing. But you did not have to explain how socialism worked. Today, I don't think they really know how it works. That's the thing. All they see are benefits for people that don't have certain things. They don't care about how the money is brought over to those people through the government. They don't even think that through. And it's very scary. We are, like you said, Ed, we're uneducated. We're ignorant of these things. And the younger, it goes to the, I guess, to both our parents and to our educational system right now. Very, very scary. Okay, let us take our break. Do you notice we haven't said the I word yet in this entire show? I didn't say it one time. And that always is dominating the news. Well, we're going to talk about the I word when we come back on the other side. Stay tuned.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to tantalkhealth.com. That's tantalkhealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
You have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come on, baby, don't you want. Hey, we're back. You know, one of the reasons Donald Trump said he did not let the Democrats know, or actually any of the politicians in Congress, know about the raid on al-Baghdadi is that Adam Schiff is such a leaker. He actually singled out Adam Schiff on the House Intelligence Committee as the focus of his concern about leaking. He didn't want the leak to occur because he wanted to preserve the safety and security of our troops that were carrying out that mission overseas. So that brings us to Adam Schiff and his attempts to get Donald Trump out of office. The House Democrats leading the impeachment inquiry of Trump now demanding a former White House official appear today for his scheduled hearing and dismissing his attempt to challenge a subpoena. They're trying to get their jaws around Charles Kupperman. Kupperman is Trump's former deputy national security advisor. And in a letter to the attorneys for Kupperman, leaders of the three House committees said that his lawsuit is lacking in legal merit to stay away from the hearings. Now, this is the most recent example of a clash between the executive and legislative branches. Can one branch force another branch to do its bidding? Well, that's where you have the third branch that comes in, right? The judicial branch. That's why we have three. The judicial branch is the arbitrator, and that's where it's going to go, I think, ultimately, one way or the other. I think the Supreme Court may weigh in on whether or not the legislative branch can force somebody from the executive branch, the White House branch, to testify in this thing. Now, there are certain things, I think, that would make their case stronger. One is if the entire legislative branch, Congress came through with a vote that said, yes, we approve of a subpoena to bring this guy over to testify before our group. But that's not the case. They've got a handful of people led by Adam Schiff that are just willy-nilly deciding, let's interview this guy and bring him in. Then we'll interview this guy and bring him. You'll notice, by the way, that so far, they don't want to call for an impeachment inquiry vote in the full House. Pelosi and the gang do not want the entire House, which is where an impeachment has to start, they don't want the House to vote on this inquiry. They want to just have a couple of people that don't like Trump and are Democrats continue the message. You know, we're still looking into impeachment and, you know, the word impeachment and Donald Trump, you know, and just kind of, I think what they're trying to do is ingrain in the head of voters that Donald Trump is not worthy of the office without having to actually take an official stand on it. That's what I think they're trying to do. Very, very sad. Very sad. And scary. And scary. Now, San Francisco, we were talking about the fires and everything. Well, the city of San Francisco has decided to blacklist businesses in certain states that have restrictive abortion laws. In other words, if they are pro-life states or they have pro-life tendencies when it comes to abortion clinics, trying to save the lives of the children, etc. The city of San Francisco doesn't want their employees going there on any kind of official business. So that would include almost every southern state in this country, along with a lot of western states as well. Starting in January of 2020, this mandate forbids San Francisco city-funded travel to those states. The mayor of San Francisco, his name is London Breed. What a name, by the way, has announced the measure. He said, every day in this country, women's reproductive rights are threatened, and we have to fight back. Well, I mean, first of all, every state and all the businesses, whether or not there are abortions, that doesn't represent the thought of every single person. What are you trying to do, punish businesses that have nothing to do with this? He said, just as we restricted spending with states that have laws that discriminate against LGBTQ people, we are standing up against states that put women's health at risk. In other words, your political bias is now going to determine whether or not you do business with certain states. That's ridiculous. All right. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, you're our sports expert. Real quickly, three straight by the Houston Astros in the World Series.
Now
they're going back to Houston now. Is Houston back in the driver's seat?
Well, yeah, they are.
Okay.
They're up 3-2, so
I guess they are, aren't they?
Yeah, but that does, I mean, they lost the first two at home, so who knows? Did you watch that game last night?
I watched some of it, but be honest, I was watching other
our
stuff.
Our local rag, the Times, said that when they showed Trump on this, because Trump was there last night.
He got booed, apparently?
Supposedly, they were chanting, lock him up, and booing.
Well, that's Washington, D.C. They're all a bunch of elite liberal snobs, aren't they?
Well,
by the way, you'll notice that it's the wealthy elite liberal snobs that can afford the game. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if that was just a little blown out of proportion.
No, it's probably, well, there's a group of people that did. But, I mean, it's a handful.
Well, let me say, when you hear boos generally are from people that are making noise. Go to Raymond James Stadium here in Tampa. If there are an influx of Packer fans and they're cheering after a touchdown, the Buck fans will boo at them. So maybe the boos were at the ding-dongs that were yelling, lock him up, which they got there a couple of years late. It was lock her up a few years ago. You got to get your own slogan.
Right.
Lock her up was for Hillary. You can't say lock him up. He's not accused of doing anything that's illegal, just like Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
It wasn't an impeachable offense what he did to that woman.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, it's Washington, first of all. And you know that there is no more liberal a city than Washington, D.C., what's the percentage of workers in Washington that work for the federal government?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's all you got to know. All right, Ed. Speaking about sports, we got to give you the top 10 best NFL stadium. By the way, I don't necessarily agree with this. Okay. I think it's just one or two people's opinions, but let's do it just for fun, okay? Yep. Top 10 best NFL stadiums. Number 10. Raymond James Stadium right here.
Oh.
Yeah. Would you have thought so, Ed, that they would have made the top 10?
I think it is a top 10.
It is a pretty stadium.
They've put a lot of more money into it, too, with the new Jumbotrons and everything.
Yeah, so, it makes the list. All right, number 9. The Denver's Broncos field. It's called Invesco Field.
Right.
I don't know much about it, but apparently it's a nice looking field.
It's a nice place.
Okay. Number 8. MetLife Stadium. Now, that holds both the New York Jets and the New York Giants. And that's been there for a while, hasn't it, MetLife Stadium?
Is it fairly new? Four or 5 years, somewhere on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it the Dome? It's an open stadium. Yeah, I remember the Dome Stadium.
No. They had the Meadowlands. Giants.
That's right.
That's replaced it.
Okay, gotcha. All right, number 7. Heinz Field in Pittsburgh.
Looks like somebody spilled mustard all over that place.
Well,
it's all yellow.
Is it? Oh, that's a bad color.
It's a beehive.
It
looks like a beehive.
You know, yellow is okay on a jersey, but not to cover an entire stadium.
You ever see those throwbacks they wear with the stripes?
Yes.
They look like prisoners.
They do, don't they? And bumblebees.
Stupid.
They look like bumblebees. Number 6. Number 6 is where? Oh, here it is. Reliant Stadium. You know where that is, Ed? I would see how much you know. Do you know where a Reliant Stadium is?
Reliant Stadium.
I would not have known this.
Is in Texas.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes. You are right. And it's number 6. Number 5. Lambeau Field, Green Bay.
I loved Lambeau Field.
It is beautiful.
It's not the most technologically advanced field.
But it's nice and open. You feel it's a football environment. I mean, you got to feel like the football.
It's got those metal benches. Oh.
Does it?
Yes.
Why? You're going to freeze yourself. You can't get off the bench.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Number 4. This one surprised me. Would you believe the University of Phoenix Stadium, where the Arizona Cardinals play?
Yeah, it looks like a spaceship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made number 4 in this guy's opinion.
They have that, the whole field's on a tray, and it rolls out of the stadium into the sun, and it gets, so it's natural.
That's why.
One of the reasons it's up
there. Well, that's kind of cool. All right, number 3. Lucas Oil Stadium. Do you know where that is?
Indianapolis.
You are good at this, man. I wouldn't have known that. You are correct. I wonder why Lucas Oil Stadium is ranked number 3. Would you know? It's a very good venue for watching the game for whatever reason. Well, obviously, it has to
be. We'll go with that.
All right. Number 2. CenturyLink Field. Do you know where that is?
Seattle?
Yes. Mm. CenturyLink Field. I don't know why, but apparently it's an open stadium.
Yes. Partially.
Can you open and close it?
No, the roof partially closes. It shields the fans from the rain.
Okay. It's got like a hole in the middle or something
like
that?
No, it's not a hole. The sides.
Oh, I know what you mean.
They
the
only
sides.
Retract halfway.
Okay. All right. Real quickly, what do you think is the number one best
NFL
stadium?
You got to go with Jerry's World. I'm sure it is probably AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Dallas. It's, where is it?
It is.
Is it in Dallas?
It is in Dallas. Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah.
And it is. It's ranked number 1. It's a beautiful stadium.
I thought it was in Irving or something.
Well, it might be. Yeah. It says here Dallas Cowboys, Stadium.
Well, there you go.
But you are right. It's the Cowboys Stadium. Ed, you're good at this, man. You know your stadiums. I am impressed. Okay. Thank you for joining us. Freedom Works, everybody. Back on Wednesday. Bye for now.
Baby, don't you wanna go?
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Trump's former Deputy National Security Advisor Charles Kupperman defied a congressional subpoena this morning, failing to appeal for a deposition before House impeachment investigators. Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says the no-show may lead to a contempt charge and...
I think we can infer from the White House opposition to Dr. Kupperman's testimony that they believe that his testimony would be incriminating of the president.
The Justice Department is appealing a judge's order directing the department to hand over to the House secret grand jury testimony from the Mueller investigation.